Hey, this is Miles McKee back again on the Gospel Truth Radio broadcast for a Sunday. And today I'd like to speak about the dying thief. Remember that Jesus was crucified between two thieves? Well, the dying thief rejoiced to see, and that comes that line comes from an old hymn. And there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see. There it is. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. We're going to read about that, about the dying thief on the cross. And it's going to be found in Luke 23 and verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors, criminals, that's what they were. They were, we call them the thieves, but they were more than thieves. They were murderers. They were awful, awful people. And one of them, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If ye be Christ, save thyself and us." Ooh, I would love to have hit him with a brick, but I don't know how Jesus puts up with us. But if ye be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do not thou fear God." Don't you fear God? "Seeing you are in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto ye, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Yep, the dying thief rejoiced to see. Okay. Did you know that the most important question that we can ask God, is how do we as sinners obtain right standing before the whole all-holy God? As I said, the most important question we can ask is how we as sinners can obtain right standing before an all-holy God. And so when Jesus died, he died between two murderers, between two criminals, the worst of, the dregs of society. And Jesus was in the midst. He was placed in the midst. So when you executed somebody and you had three people, you took the worst, the most despicable criminal and put them in the middle. Jesus was put in the middle. He was the man in the middle. And that was to say, he's the worst of men. But this was the story of Jesus' life, wasn't it? He was always in the midst of sinners. Isn't he wonderful? He is wonderful. He was always in the midst of sinners. And this is a wonderful drama unfolded before us. It's a triumph of grace where we see how Jesus got one man to heaven. And before we deal with how Jesus gave the dying thief eternal life, let's just consider the scene around the cross. The women stayed. You know, Jesus had a lot of women who went along in his group, and they actually some wealthy women who provided for him. Yeah. And the women stayed at the cross, but the men fled, all except for John. The men ran. They went and hid. They were afraid, but the women weren't afraid. Or if they were afraid, they didn't care what was going to happen to them. They were identified with Jesus. You know, sometimes they... best men the Lord has are the women. Yeah. And the crowd, they're out there, there's Pharisees, and there's people passing by, and there's just malintended people And that they're crying out and says, come down from the cross, come down from the cross, come down from the cross. Ooh. And if you come down, we'll believe you. But you know, Jesus could have come down from the cross. Now, if Jesus had come down from the cross, okay, that would have shown that there was a limit to his love. I mean, it would have meant that he loved us enough to take the nails, to take the pounding, and the piercing. But he wouldn't go beyond that. There was a line beyond which he would not go. That's if he'd come down from the cross. But there were and are no limits to the love of God. Do you know that, believer, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that he went to the cross for you? So here he is, the Lord Jesus, maker of heaven and earth, hanging between two thieves. But he takes only one of them to heaven. You know, did you notice that? Two thieves. There were two thieves and one was saved. That's so that no one would despair. And only one was saved so that no one would presume. Charles Spurgeon said that. But here back to the passage. In the last few moments of his life, the dying thief received a wonderful flood of spiritual vision given by the Lord. So the dying thief rejoiced to see. One, the first thing he saw was that he was a sinner. Verse 40 to 41. Remember that? And the other answered, rebuking him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. Do you not fear God? There's the question he asked. Do you not fear God? We're receiving the due rewards for what we've done. In other words, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Yeah, you see, the Lord, to draw us to himself, he removes the mere academic intellectual knowledge of the fact that we're a sinner or sinners. And he gives us a heartfelt conviction that we are indeed sinners. You know, the way you talk to people today and it's, oh yes, I know I'm a sinner. And they say, we're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinners, but I'm basically good. Look, I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen. We're basically good. Hey, is that how you think? Well, I can tell you assuredly that you are not on the road to heaven if that's the way you think. No one ever gets eternal life until they know that they are a sinner. Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that you're a lost sinner? Do you know that your sin has separated you from God? But you know something about the good news, the gospel, is that Jesus was treated as if he was the worst of men. He was put on the center cross. And let me tell you, if you know you're a sinner, you can apply for mercy. Apply for mercy to the Lord Jesus. Depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. Well, the dying thief saw something else. He saw Jesus in his perfection. He says in verse 41, this man has done nothing amiss. Jesus was sinless. Hey, did you hear that? Jesus was sinless, and his sinlessness makes him a fitting sacrifice and a fitting savior. It was to fulfill all God's holy requirements. Yeah, that's what I was supposed to do, and you're supposed to do is fulfill every requirement the holy God has laid upon us. But Jesus came here in his mercy, and from his birth to his death, he was obedient for us. Jesus was, because only a sinless substitute could die for us. If Jesus had sinned, he couldn't die for you. He couldn't die for me if he had ever sinned. But he was sinless. And upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon his life, upon his death, I stake my whole eternity. What are you staking your eternity on? What are you depending upon? Well, this man needed to repent. And the reason so many people go to hell is that they refuse to admit that they're sinners. Humanly speaking, that's what's happened. And do you know what death earns? What sin earns you? It earns you the death penalty. And God has a just and a holy revulsion against sin. He has an antagonism towards those who rebel against him. And we as sinners were in a terrible predicament. But God did something about our predicament. He came himself in the person of his son and died for sinners. Turn to him. Turn to him. As a hell-deserving sinner, turn to him and ask for that mercy. Yeah, he saw the dying thief rejoice to see that he needed to repent. Mark 15, verse 32, they who were crucified with him reviled him. So both thieves, both murderers were reviling him. But now, what a contrast. This man repents. He says, Lord, remember me. He's gone from profanity to praying. It'll happen every time. Profanity to praying. Look, without repentance, there is no salvation. And by the way, repentance doesn't save you, but there's no salvation without it. No one's saved without it. Our repentance was not nailed to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. The Savior was nailed to the cross. He is our Savior. But there's always repentance. We continue to repent. Get a deep, profound change of mind. Acts, in the book of Acts 3:19, repent and be converted. You know, we have got to plead guilty before we receive God's verdict of acquittal. Christ died for the, can you finish it? Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah. And only the Lord can show you if you're ungodly. So I ask you to call upon him. Call upon him. Yep. As I said earlier, the reason so many people go to hell, humanly speaking, is that they refuse to admit that they're sinners. Did you hear me? Refuse to admit that they are sinners. Well, here, the dying thief rejoiced to see. What did he see? He saw the mercy of God. Remember, this thief was raised under the law of Moses, and if a person despised Moses' law, he died without mercy. Hebrews 10:28. And this man had despised Moses' law, and he should have not have received mercy. But listen to the mercy of the Lord Jesus. He says, you shall be with me in paradise. Micah 7:18 says, the Lord delights in mercy. Do you need mercy? Hello? Do you need mercy? Jesus hung upon the cross for sinners, and he was punished as though he were a sinner. He wasn't a sinner, but he was treated like the worst sinner, the worst murderer, the worst thief, the worst robber, the first adulterer, the first pornographer. He was treated like he was all of those. Wrath fell on him. The sore displeasure of the Father fell on him. And he hung upon the cross and was punished as though he were a sinner. Wow, there's an old hymn we used to sing it back in Ulster. Christ, what burdens bowed their head, our load was laid on thee. You stood in the sinner's stead, you broke all ill for me. A victim led, that blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Isn't that wonderful? Here's another thing that the dying thief saw. He saw that feelings had nothing to do with salvation. You didn't need elation. You know, there's some people out there who teach that you can't be saved unless you get all elated. No, listen, that thief on the cross didn't experience high euphoria. I was witnessing one time to a fellow, and he says, "Oh, no," he says, no, that's not for me. I tried it, tried that Christianity, but I couldn't feel anything. Oh, dear. Listen, it doesn't feel good when you're being crucified. This thief had no ecstatic feelings. He didn't get a hold of salvation by his feelings. Well, how did he get a hold of it? Here it is. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. A simple definition of faith is this: forsaking all, I trust him. He took the Savior at his word. And you know, why wouldn't they? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish." Did you hear that? My sheep hear my voice. Oh, yeah. Maybe you're hearing the voice of the Lord today and saying, "Yeah, you know, yeah, I need to get saved. I need to trust Christ. I need eternal life." Why don't you do that? Why don't you ask him to save you? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Did you hear me? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man saw the mercy of God, and so will you if you'll call out for mercy. You'll not be refused. Did you hear me? You'll not be refused. And this man saw that Jesus was his only hope. Yeah. I mean, imagine the scene. Here's the man hanging on the cross, and he's trying to get eternal life. So Jesus says, "Okay, you need to do good works." It's like the Mormons. The Mormons say you can't possibly be saved unless you do good works. I remember when I was just saved. I was only saved a few months, but I'd read a lot of the Bible by that time. And I'd read Ephesians, "You're saved by grace," chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not of works." And there were these Mormons, Latter-day Saints, very nice people, but they were evangelizing in a place called Ballycastle. And myself and a few others were down there. So I went and talked to them. And I said, "Well, tell me now, could you get me to heaven?" He says, "Oh, yes, we've got the true church. We'll get you to heaven." I says, "That's great. Lovely. How do I get there?" He says, "Well, now, come to our meetings." No, I says, "No, I don't have time to come to the meetings. I'm in trouble. And I looked over my shoulder as if somebody was stalking me. I says, "How do I get there? Can I get there this afternoon? Can I get there right now?" And the man says, "Oh, no, you can't. No. You have to come to our meetings, and then you've got to do some good works, and then we'll look at you and decide whether you can go to heaven or whether you've earned enough to get to heaven." I says, "Well, you're a fake." Yeah, I don't know that I would do that much, but you're a fake. It says in Ephesians 2, "You're saved by grace, it's not by works, and you're telling me you have to do all these works." Listen, Jesus is our only hope. Jesus didn't say to the thief on the cross, "Go do some good works." How could he go do some good works? The man's feet were nailed to the cross. Jesus didn't tell him to go to church. No, didn't tell him to go to church. Couldn't get off the cross to go to church. Didn't say, "You need to be baptized." How could he get off the cross? "You need to take the sacraments." How could he take sacraments? Yet this man got saved without baptism, without sacraments, without church membership, without good works. He gets saved. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus is the Savior, not your works. Jesus is the Savior, not your repentance. Jesus is the Savior. And he was given eternal life without doing something or without going anywhere. Jesus didn't say, do this or you're not, I'll not give it to you. No, the man was nailed to the cross. And his hands were that had been used for violence were now nailed to the cross. The feet that were swift to run after violence were nailed. His sin had made him a prisoner. Yeah, and that will make us prisoners too. The dying thief rejoiced to see the Lord Jesus. He'd never seen a man die like this. And he'd seen plenty of people die. And Jesus had healed. Listen to this. Think about this. Jesus had healed and done many miracles throughout the land. But that didn't move the man to get saved. Everybody knew who Jesus was, but the miracles hadn't drawn this criminal. And when he saw Jesus dying on the cross, it spoke to his heart and it broke his heart. And the only way of salvation is through the one who was hanging in the midst of those thieves. And the man who got saved, was he a religious man? No. You know, religion does more harm than good when it comes to getting people into heaven. But let me say it again to you. Belonging to a church will not help you. Being baptized will not get you to heaven. Doing good works will not get you to heaven. The only way of salvation is by faith in the crucified Savior who has risen from the dead. God is perfectly righteous, and he can't look with favor upon any unrighteousness. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. So, what are we to do? Well, we're to do the same thing the dying thief did. What was that? Nothing. He couldn't get off the cross to do something. So, how did he get to heaven then? Well, through Christ alone. The greatest sin is to reject Jesus as your only hope. To refuse to rest upon him alone is wickedness. It's rejecting God's gift. So this man got saved. He'd seen that feelings can do nothing, have nothing to do with salvation, but are you going to wait until you feel something before you ask for mercy to save you? Will you not rest on the fact that Christ has died for sinners and you're a sinner and Christ has died? Do you hear the good news? Have you heard about the good news? What's the good news? The good news is that Christ has died in place of sinners. Do you believe in him? Then call upon him. Ask for the mercy. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. This man saw Jesus was his only hope. Everyone else will fail you. Did you know that? Listen to me. Pastors can fail you. Priests can fail you. Preachers can fail you. The church can fail you. But Jesus will never fail you. Did you hear me? Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change. But Jesus never. Glory to his name. He's wonderful. Listen, I recommend him to you. He's wonderful. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I want to pray right now. And if you're wanting to get saved, just pray along with me, but from your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for sinners. You were put on the middle cross, and on the middle cross, the worst criminal was placed. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to save me. I ask you for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.